for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, December the 29th, 2001. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, is the speaker of the morning.
Oh, it was 9 above with a 22 below zero wind chill factor this morning when I called home. And we are so blessed. I was sitting running the dog and reading and praying and the windows open and in the van and just basking in it and wishing that New Year's Eve wouldn't come because I don't want to go home. Yes. So, how'd that get out here? I don't want that. Bless the Lord, does. I want to deal with the final portion of the engagement ring. Just to refresh your memory this morning, the reason that the Lord, let me just share, Glenn will appreciate this too, sent me here this time. It's been a long time since I've had the privilege of being here to minister. I've come to a deliverance camp or two, a minister's deliverance camp or what it's called, you know, but at any rate, I was sitting at my desk and I was praying and I had a Holy Spirit-inspired burden to come here. And this has happened with us more than once. And I began to cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't call people ever and say, I want to come for a meeting. We traveled for 21 years never knowing where we were going from one place to the next. And so on. So I just learned, Lord, when I'm done here, what's up? And I do not boast in that, believe me. There's a lot of battles that are on the inside when it comes to that. Excuse me, but at any rate, I don't think that I was hardly finished uttering that prayer, and I got a call from Brother Glenn asking if I would come down. And so I knew excuse me, it was of the Lord. And the one time that we almost burned the backwoods down, I don't know if Clem remembers that or not, but the same thing happened. I was praying and about coming here and received a phone call from him, and he said, would you and Linda take the youth camp for summer for 2 weeks? And it worked out that way. And the comical part of it was we had a bonfire. Well, Glenn told me where the wood pile was. However, I saw a different wood pile that you were going to save for firewood, I think. And we lit the wrong fire. You didn't call me back for a long time after that. You don't? Thank you, Jesus. We're sharing on getting rid of the bad memories this morning, so that's confirmation. Okay. One other thing before we get into thing, and but this engagement ring. This morning, I guess if we would have a title, whatever you want to call it, it's Come Boldly Under the Throne of Grace. I'm your Father. Yesterday we found out that he was a father that was so proud of his bride. And we saw that he was rejoicing over that. Well, the third portion of the engagement ring, which is the earnest of the Holy Spirit, the third portion is you and I are becoming one, the Father says, because your husband is one with me.
Amen.
He and I are one. And I only want perfection for my son. And boy, do I relate with that. My children get married. They come home and ask Dad's opinion. In fact, Mom and I just were on the phone about one of them that had called and says, well, what do you think? Mom says, well, she's a keeper, but. And so on. Well, the father is saying, we're keepers. But there's some things that we need to talk about. We need to delve into. And so he says, come boldly unto the throne of grace this morning. Now, with that as a setting, I'm going to get way off the subject because twice it's come to me from the Spirit. Glenn and I were just chatting briefly over here about a memory. And this is for the musicians especially, but it's for all of us. When I was in the world, God had given me a gift of music and talent in that area. It was nothing that I worked at. It was just plopped in me. You know how he does that with us for special reasons. And then Satan loves to come along and pervert that gift for his glory. So I played in clubs and things like that. And some of you, no, you're all too young maybe, but like 5'2" and blue skirt waltz and all of those things, peg in my heart, and goes on and on, memories, you know, these old songs that we used to sing. Do you remember them too? Huh? Oh, I guess, do you? It's fun to dance to that if you're, maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't mean that sinfully. Yes, he did, and I love it. At any rate, so after I was saved, that was one of the things that I had to stop doing. And that and racing, two very difficult things to separate from, but I had to do it because they were kind of like gods to me. And I was plopped in a church for 6 years where I was trained by a man of God. He didn't know he was training me, and I certainly didn't want to be trained because I had the itch to preach. And I would go out and preach whenever I could and so on, but God wouldn't let me work in this church at all. And I'd go to the pastor every now and then. He'd ask for a youth pastor to come along. And I'd meet him the next day all pumped up and excited and tell him, you know, that I knew that God would use me. And he says, well, you just stay around here for a while. Let's see what God does. Well, I put up with that for 6 years. And I should say he put up with me because, rebellion was really going on. But anyhow, one day the organist quit, and this is why I'm sharing this, especially for musicians. And as she resigned, the pastor spoke from the pulpit, I wonder if there is an organist in our midst. And I quickly was walking towards the back door, and my wife is very quiet normally. And suddenly she shouted, and I mean she did, my husband plays the organ. Well, this was the church, well, much like this, where the organ is up in front of everybody and so on. So I was asked, and I didn't know how to play one song as far as Christian songs are concerned. I was I could sing them, but I never played them. Anyhow, along about this time, I struggled, and I hit the key of F when it was supposed to be C, and the lady on the piano, she'd go like this and tell me it was in the key of C, and then I'd go on, and it was funny. Christmas program time came. Now, for me, Christmas carols from the hymnal I can play, but by ear, it's a nightmare. And normally, I play by ear, but anyhow, we had rehearsal. And we were doing the closing scene, the traditional silent night, you know. The lights were dimmed. And around about us, we bust in children from rejects from the Reform School is the best way I can describe it. And they spoke from Mexico. I don't want to cast any darkness there. But, and they spoke, they had no training, you know. And they spoke in that language, and you never knew what they were calling you or saying about you or anything. And one of these boys was so, and I didn't know demonology at the time, was demon-possessed. And he would run around the sanctuary during worship, and nobody could catch him. And he would be a tiger. He had a spirit in him of a saber-toothed tiger. And the only way he'd settle down was he'd come and sit by the organ by me. And I'd lay hands on him for just a moment, and we just had a thing going together. And then the music would soothe the demons and so on. Well, this one night he was sitting there, and this practice night, and it was time to play Silent Night. And I went into the spirit. That's the best I can tell you. And I didn't know how to make sounds on the organ very well. But inside of me, I was saying to the Lord, you know how you do that? You just kind of chat while you're doing things. I would really like it if this organ would play bells. I wonder if it does. Or chimes, better term. And we got to the part where chimes would kick in. And my fingers couldn't touch the keys. And this little boy's tears were running down his face. And suddenly chimes came out from the organ. The most beautiful Silent Night I have ever heard. And I'm sure someday in heaven I'm going to hear it again. Amen. Yes. And I've got to stop this story. Christmas Eve night came, and I'm all pumped. I can't wait for these chimes to happen again. And I had relatives there, and I was in the flesh. I wanted to impress them. You never get that way, I'm glad. But I do. I have a battle there sometimes. And so I'm all set, and we get to that beautiful part, and it's a moving scene, you know, and the most awful sounds came out of that organ you'd ever want to believe. I was totally without the ability to create the beautiful heavenly sounds that the Lord gave us in the rehearsal time. Now, I'll end with this very quickly. That brought great humility. And I didn't ever want to go again. But I was obedient. I had made a commitment, and I had to honor that commitment. A little while later, we did radio programs. I didn't even realize that I was on the radio program. We began to receive phone calls from people in the area saying, who is the organist on your radio program? And the Holy Spirit was using the word, but he was using the anointing of the music to bring people into a deeper relationship with Christ on a 5-minute radio program every day. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you with your giftings. It doesn't just have to be music, but with your giftings. If God has given it to you, he wants to use it. So relax and let him use it. Amen? Okay, well, enough of remembering stories. Huh? They get me going on them at home, and sometimes it's not so good. I don't get a chance to share what we're supposed to. Pardon? It is so important. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. And boy, if there's anything that wants to divide a church, it's music. Because you play too fast, too slow, you play new, you don't play old, you play old, you don't play new. And so on. It's kind of interesting. The spirit of fear, memories, and I'd like to deal with that. And I'll share a very quick experience of how I came about what I'm going to share with you. In my own life, I had fears. The fears had their root in the sinful areas of my life. I'm not going to go into that. Thank you. I don't have to, Lord. Thank you. And in this deliverance ministry, I began to become discouraged because I would meet with especially Satanists or recovering Satanists and SRA victims and so on. And we'd make progress. And different personalities that they had would be absorbed. I know there's not an agreement in deliverance camp on whether you deal with multiple personalities or not. All I can tell you is that God has chosen us to do it. and throughout Ireland, another story that I will share some other time. God used us to help many people get set free. But if you believe that you don't need to deal with them, then God's using you that way, so go for it. All right? I would deal with these personalities, and they would become integrated within the soul, and so on. And a week later, another personality would crop up. And when these personalities crop up or come forth, their eyes change, their face changes, their voice changes, and so on. It's quite an experience. And it began to be very discouraging. And I said, Lord, you know, I think we're going backwards. And we had been given wise counsel that with SRAs, they're satanic ritual abuse people. Sometimes it takes 5, 7, 10 years of faithful ministering to them. And of course, being an instant fast food type person, I didn't think that that would be the case, because the power of my God is just going to set them free and that's it. Learned a lot of lessons about that too. But anyway, I found out that when I would pray with these people, they would have demonic authorities that were intimidating pieces of their soul so that they couldn't deal with them. And that piece of their soul was a different personality. Okay, a piece of their soul, but a different personality. And as we would integrate this personality, Lord, help me explain this right. The person would have a week or two of just grand rest, and then this other personality would crop up. Well, with every personality piece, there are at least one, if not more, demonic authorities assigned to keep that piece of the personality segregated from the soul. Some of you may have gone through this. And so I said, Lord, how come this is happening? And the personality or the piece of the soul that was there was always in much worse shape than the one that the person had just been set free from. We dug deeper and deeper. And one day, one of these little personalities, one named Kelly, sweet, sweet, sweet little girl, 4 years old, in a 40-some-year-old woman, came and said, will you open the box and let me out? And in the ministry of deliverance, I found that Satan has a wonderful system of hiding places. And I often call them black boxes. Sometimes they are in the depths of the earth, of the human soul. They're in the depths, and they have a covering over them, and you don't see it. Okay? And so what would happen is, when demons fight amongst one another, and the stronger ones will cast out the weaker ones, and that's exorcism, and that's what you see on TV. And if I can just blow my horn for a minute, I am so angry with that sham of demonology that Satan is using to bring forth what deliverance is. It's not deliverance. It's just one strong devil casting out another, and so on. I wish that 2020 would put on a true deliverance ministry. I wish that would happen. That would just... but anyhow, I'll get off my soapbox, okay? I don't know if I'm making sense this morning, but it'll come together. So anyway, it's part of the system that Satan has created, hiding places. Now, often these hiding places are, the terminology I use are recessed memories, or they are memories within that we aren't even aware of. But yet, at times, events will trigger them to come forth. Seasons are... Christmas time. Our phone just runs with much compassion for the people we work with, because the holiday seasons are their worst times. The Halloween time and Friday nights, because that's the nights the Satanists get together and come against us with their chants and prayers and so on. They will allow things to come to our memory, or they will try to drum up things from our memory that will cause us to relate to a fear. All right? And so we're going, what we're doing in this is going to the root and putting the axe to the root. Okay, I pray this makes sense this morning, but it will as it comes about. Now, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, you all know it, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. So would you say it with me? God has not given me spirit of fear. Let's confess it. I do not have a spirit of fear that has come from God. Therefore, if I have a spirit of fear, it is demonic. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you spirits of fear, I'm putting you on notice this morning. You are going to quit ruling me. I believe in the authority of the Word of God. I was created with a sound mind, with power, and with a spirit of perfect love. Therefore, you cannot rule in me. Okay, now soul, speak to yourself. Soul, I command you to line up to the Word of God. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I present my soul under the covering of the blood with the hedge of the Holy Spirit around me. Satan, you command your forces to line up. Spirit of fear, I command you to come forward, to stand at attention, with your mouth sealed, and I command every demonic authority under your authority to line up in rank and file behind you. And Father, I ask that you would bind them within the golden cords of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will tell you, if you are afraid of everything or anything or something or one thing, whatever it is, right now, that thing is bound in you. And when we're done, if you have faith, it will release you. Okay? All right. One more personal story that fits in with this so well. When I was 5 years old, I was walking to kindergarten. That's a long time ago. 57 years ago. Can you imagine that? My goodness. Time flies. As I was walking to kindergarten, suddenly an ambulance came right where I was walking. And I was filled with such fear that I froze in my tracks. Didn't go to school that day, and I was afraid to go home. I remember it vividly. After that, I could not walk to school that way. I would go 6 extra blocks to get to school to avoid that point of fear. After I got married, my wife sure puts up with a lot. After I got married, if a siren would come, I would just lose control of myself, and more than once I drove up on the sidewalk to get out of the way of the sirens coming. What was sad is my children were the same way. And my grandsons, they called them woo-woos for sirens, would become the same way. Well, as I learned about deliverance, and that's why I'm sharing this, I went to God one day and I said, Lord, what's going on? And he took me back to the crib. And my mother standing over me. And I had pneumonia. Now, back in those days, pneumonia was a serious thing. And she was patting me on the shoulder as the sirens were coming to take me to the hospital, saying, don't be afraid, they won't hurt you. Don't be afraid, they won't hurt you. But inside of her, she was filled with fear. And she transferred the spirits of fear on me. And she tried to cover it up by saying, don't you go through what I'm going through. But as she laid hands on me, well, we put the axe to the root and confessed the prayer that I confessed, or a similar prayer, and I've been set free, completely set free. But shucks, I was in my late 40s, early 50s, before I got that rid of that thing, and so on. Okay, now I would I would like to take you on a short journey, but first we'll look at 1 Corinthians 11:24 for those of you taking notes, and it's the teaching on the Lord's Supper. But there is a command from God that says, "This do in remembrance of me." All right? It means to make a choice to think about and dwell on something. All right? So, "This do in remembrance of me." So we know that God has given us the gift of a healthy memory. Okay? I call that a white memory. I'm not exclusive in that. I've learned this. But it's a white memory. It's a pure memory. It's a wonderful memory. And in my memory system, I have many wonderful, wonderful memories. And they're white and they're treasures. Now, God says the kingdom of God is going forward and that we shouldn't look back. But he doesn't say that about the white memories. He's talking about what I call black memories. Incidents of the past that we've been forgiven and released from. And the process of coming from the black memories into the white memories, we go through a shaded area of gray. And the gray area is where the fowls of the air come, which represents the demons that have been assigned to that area of our life. They come and try to steal the freedom of God. And that's where we work out our salvation. Hallelujah. And so being set free from our memories, that doesn't happen. God created it. But being set free from the pain of the memories is what God does for us. Hallelujah. So we go from excruciating pain and we try to avoid it, so we build boxes to live in where we don't face it. We put up walls and so on. And then once we deal with them, we drive by a place or the season comes and it triggers our memory by association. The demons know how to use that. And it becomes a gray memory and we do battle. But the Lord has a principle in the 23rd Psalm. He says, "I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies." Hallelujah. That's the gray area of life. Every black memory is going to have to come through. Well, with God, all things are possible. But in my experience, I'm basing this on the gray area where I sit in the middle of the circumstance and his rod and his staff comforts me. So I fear no evil. 23rd Psalm is not a funeral psalm. That's a deliverance psalm. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the good memories, and I would like us to see how they work. Genesis, if you want to join me, we'll go to Jacob. He's just one of my favorite subjects in dealing with learning about deliverance. Chapter 26, in verse 26, chapter 26, I think I probably steered you wrong. Genesis, how do I do that? 25 it is. Genesis 25, verse 27 and 8. We're dealing about Jacob and Esau, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Lord, give me discipline to step on the subject now. Thank you. Jacob was birthed into a family where perfect love was not given. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, there is a law of creation. Like produces like kind. With animals, with trees, but most of all with God. You and I are created in his image and likeness. Amen. Okay, it's a reproductive rule of God to pass on the nature of God through mankind. It is the dunamis of the Holy Spirit in action today. Like reproducing, like kind. Okay, and then God said to Adam and Eve that they were to replenish the earth. Now, they couldn't replenish the earth by producing trees or every good thing to eat and so on and so forth. That reproductive system was already taken care of by God through seeds. Isn't there a lot in this if you want to meditate? Oof, you know, we spend all day on that. But anyhow, Their assignment was to reproduce in their children the likeness of God. God planted the seed of perfection in them. And he gave them the ability to love with perfection. But he did not give them the automatic giving of perfection. The assignment of them was to give by teaching and training how to love. You and I have been created by God with the ability to love. That is his nature living in me. I have the ability to love unconditionally. Hallelujah. Oh, and I tell you, I have to remind myself of that a lot of times. And the adrenaline and the other things start flowing in me that stir anger and bitterness and retaliation and judgment and inferiority. I've got to remember that. No, that's not part of the incorruptible seed. Okay. So, parents were given the assignment by God to transfer not the love of God, but the knowledge to walk in the love of God. Now, when sin came along, Adam hid from the face of God, the presence of God. Hiding is coming into a place of covering where the presence of God supposedly can't find you. Isn't that right? Well, I learned there. There's that black box. Sin opens the door for the black box, the hiding place. Now, not everybody has them in all areas, but most of us have them in some areas. The next thing I learned from this is obvious, is that there is a pure covering, the coat of skins. The pure covering is in my soul that is saved. So this piece of my scattered soul out here is hiding from God, and ministering to it is going to the reason and letting God cover it with his blood of Jesus and replacing it. Now, you notice in this accounting of creation that God came to Adam and Eve, and he said, Adam, where are you? Yeah, and by the way, he didn't shout it and put him down. He met it with sincerity and love. Mm-hmm. The first step in getting healed in our memories is to recognize that we're hiding from God. Painful areas in our life, we're hiding them from God. Now, I want to go on with this thing of parents' teaching so that it becomes strong. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou, oh, I love this, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Tremendous principles of freedom in this scripture. First of all, it says, these words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. Our parents have been given the responsibility of teaching us the perfect love of God because it's within their heart. But if our parents and grandparents, etc., don't have a knowledge of the fact that they are walking in perfect love, how can they give it to us? It's like going to a cup of coffee. I use this illustration a lot in ministry, and I have a cup sitting there. One is full with water, and the other one is not. And I take the empty cup, and I go like this, and I say to the person, what came out? Nothing. Well, that's obvious. I mean, that's not stupid. It's just obvious. Well, that's the way a person is when they don't understand that they have the unconditional love of God in action in their life. However, the water of the Word and the flowing of the Spirit, when you take the full cup and pour it out, it creates more. It brings forth the love of God. That river Euphrates that we talked about yesterday. Okay? So, the reason I don't function in the love of God is because I was not trained. That's it. Are you with me? Now, next step in getting set free, I forgive my parents. Heavenly Father, pray with me. Heavenly Father, I forgive my parents, my grandparents, and my ancestry as far back as necessary for not giving me the teaching of how to activate and live in the perfect love of Christ. I desire to learn of unconditional love and to walk in unconditional love. I release my parents into your care. I release the memory of my parents into your care. Amen. See, that word release is tremendous. Yeah, it is. Release and freedom go together. You can't have freedom until you release. And release is a form of control. All right? If you can't release something, it means you want to control the situation. Oh, could we get into all kinds of demonic things? Your freedom, but you understand. So I don't want to control that thing anymore. It's yours, God. Jesus, you deal with it. You know, that's your business, not mine. Okay? That's the attitude of this thing. Okay, the next thing then is that the parents are to bind the frontlets on the forehead. You know, they're to bind them. Well, who hath been given the authority to bind and loose? The church. Isn't that right? Well, we think of it in demonic terms so much, but there is also the beauty of the positive victory in it. And so we ask the Lord to bind to our memories the Word of God. And especially in the area of forgiveness and areas of memories that are painful. Now, you know your painful areas usually, or if God reveals them, then you choose a scripture or two and you memorize it. And you bind it to your memory bank. Hallelujah. God said, Jesus said, you guys want the authority of walking in victory? Well, here it is. Bind and loose. It's all in one little package for us. Glory. And I want to encourage you in prayer, although this is off the subject, those that you're praying for, you choose a scripture. And you ask the angels to carry that scripture to the one you're praying for. And ask the Heavenly Father to minister through the angels. You don't speak to angels and ask them. You ask the Father to send them. All right? Please don't speak to angels. That hits New Age right square between the eyes. Hallelujah. I love to do it. Okay? And assign that scripture and you quote it. And then ask God to send a choir of angels to minister to that one. Hallelujah. And you watch. You watch the change. I have seen husbands who are unfaithful lose their ability to commit adultery, to come running back home to have a proper relationship with the wife. I have seen individuals in prison become most vile individuals in the eyes of mankind. Those prayers answered. They get set free and come into the kingdom of God. Oh, this binding is a powerful thing. Bind the scriptures to it. Now back to the subject. The next thing, turn with me to chapter 27, Genesis 27, verse 13. Jacob went on in life. And the time came for him to escape. Now remember, the name Jacob means a deceiver. Okay? One who is easily given over to deceit. But on the top of that, of course he was a type of Israel and etc. And go on. But on top of that, he was given the ministry by God of being able to discern deceit. But Satan thwarted it. Okay? And so his mother was aware of the conditions that were going on and said unto him in verse 13, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. Now, you know the story of how Jacob went out and tried to duplicate Esau's venison and so on and the clothing, etc. You all remember that story, so I don't have to take time to go into it. Okay? But what happened was his mother was feeding his spirit of deceit rather than building it up as an identifier of deceit.
when he deceived his brother and operated in deceit, Mom and Dad should have picked up on that immediately, and they should have taught him of the love of Christ, etc. So Mom fed that spirit. Unfortunately, our fears are fed by the ones that birthed us. Out of compassion, unrighteous compassion. Oh, come here, honey. I know you're afraid. That's okay. Come sit on Mama's lap. Come sit on Daddy's lap. Come sit on Grandpa's lap. And then you hold them tight. And that's okay. That's okay. And you know what you're doing? You're reinforcing, or it's being reinforced in you, the spirit of fear. It's okay to have a spirit of fear. My mama, my daddy, my grandpa, someone's going to take care of it. Baloney. That is just sending and inviting in more demonic spirits to enlarge the area of the spirit of fear. Well, in essence, Mom was doing that here. She was supporting his spirit. Turn with me to Genesis 32. Jacob goes on in life, and life's not so hunky-dory for him because he's on the run from the spirit of fear. Okay? One of the things I quickly remember is that a demon does never wants to be exposed. So, the demon will cause you to run from the thing that's going to expose it. Okay. Let me again tell you a true story. It seems to be, maybe it's because of my memories, but I think the Holy Spirit, no, I know it is. I was ministering to a group of recovering, already set free alcoholics and drug addicts in the basement of a home. And suddenly a demon picked up this one lady and threw her about 30 feet across the room, and she crashed on the cement floor and her head like that. Okay? And the man whose home we were in was a big, burly motorcycle rider. I mean, this guy made me look little. He had gotten saved, and he definitely has a call on his life. But anyhow, he got up from his chair, and he took about 7 steps at a time, running upstairs, running out the door. He was so filled with fear from what went on. Well, we went over to the lady that was laying there in the demons, and she was frothing and all of that junk that goes on. And we bound the spirit so it was quiet and cast them out of her. And Brother Tom, I hope if he hears this message, he'll chuckle now. My Brother Tom came quietly back in the house after a season. He got calmed down. And we got to talking about that. He had great spirits of fear. And when the demons of fear in this lady acted up, it stirred up the demons in him. And when the authority of God came upon us to cast the demons out of her, it sent those demons running. They were aware of the power of the Holy Spirit and the angels that were equipped to war to do against the spirit of fear. So, I share all of this to tell you, and again, we got a lot of stories on this, but I share all of this to tell you that if you get the urge to run from something, if you don't want to deal with something, if you would like to ignore it, pretend it's not there, a demonic force ministering to you, saying, get away from this thing, you're going to be found out, I'm going to be found out. And then this demonic force triggers our emotions to react. And when our emotions kick in, our will submits to the spirit of fear. And then our desires kick in, and we want to run. All right? And of course, then our mind is filled with anything but a sound mind. And that word sound mind means a disciplined mind, I might add. You all with me still? Huh? You know, this is coming so fast to me again this morning, and I can't follow an outline. So I pray that it's pulling together. Thank you. One other quick thing, I want to reinforce this. Another lady, or a lady we were ministering to, she couldn't sit in church, what we call church. I hate to use that term. Fellowship is a better term. Every time we begin to pray, she's what we called snake lady. The demons would take over, and she'd slither up over the pew where the place is sitting, on the floor, and so on. And she would try to get out the door. See, those demons were being exposed. Another lady, it's not all ladies by any means, but most women have a spirit of fear, we have found. Men have a spirit of lust, and women have a spirit of fear. They're two chiefs. At any rate, this one lady, she would shout out in the middle of the service, I think I'm going to, I want to get out of here, I want to get out of here, help me, help me. I mean, this in traditional church services, but this is just the way it is. You know, we're here to get help. We're not here to be fancy and formal and so on. So anyhow, okay, I will. One more, and then I got to go on to the scripture. One of the individuals would come walking into church with her wrists lashed, and she'd stand in the back waving it to me and sending demons out telling me, see, you've killed her, you're going to kill her, and so on. And it was to disrupt the service and to make her get out of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and so on. These things are just powerful things to deal with. So let's go on. Turn with me, did I cover that? 32:1. Okay, 27:4, 32:1. We'll go to 32:1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That name means the place of two camps. Okay? Jacob was on the run. He was filled with fear. And he was alone. And it was time for God to deal with him to set him free. It was a place of two camps. The spirits of fear and the Holy Spirit of God. The next step is, are you willing to recognize that you have a spirit of fear? And are you willing to deal with it? I can't answer that for you. You'll not get delivered if you don't recognize it and be willing. I have a phrase, you gotta wanna. So I pray, if I don't want to, God, give me the Godawana so I can. You might want to say that. God, give me the Godawana. You know? Not the best English, but it's understood by God. Okay. And now we go on in verse 7, and it says, and Jacob was afraid, and he was greatly distressed. What happens when you get the Godawana is the spirits of fear begin to manifest because they want you not to Godawana. So they come on strong, and they tell you all kinds of lies as to why you should not be set free. And they threaten you. They threaten to torture you. They threaten that you're going to have a heart attack, or they threaten that someone's going to get you. I mean, their threats are all personal because they know how to trip, if I can use this term, your trigger to set you off so that you won't deal with it. You understand? To go into the base of my understanding where I have weaknesses so I won't face the enemy. With me, it was that little incident with the fire or the sirens and so on. Okay. And the word distressed means to be put in a narrow place. Now, there is nothing that I dislike more is to be crowded in by demons all around me. And I have that smothered feeling of I can't get free. Remember the box? That portion of my soul is hidden in a smothered, covered place. It reminds me of the Waffle House with the potato smothered and covered. Okay, but really, that portion is hidden here. I'm in a place of great distress. Thanks be to God. Let's go on. Verse 20. The enemy comes along. Esau is on the way. And verse 20, Jacob is saying, and say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. The word appease means to cover your face. The enemy wants to cover your face so that you'll not see that a spirit of fear is in action. So our mind begins to receive ministry of demonic things on how to avoid the issue of dealing with the problem. All right? We appease ourselves. Or we open up the door to be appeased so I can escape once again. That's a trap you have to work through. It's part of the gray area of this cleansing of the memories. Be aware of traps. I'm too tired. Oh. Again, I think of my wife, and I've said to her in certain areas of my life, honey, I'm just too tired to deal with that. Just put it on the shelf. We'll deal with it another day. You know what that is? It's the demonic realm. They're sending me spirits of weariness to keep me down. I struggled for 2 years. I've just come out on top of it now. Of exhaustion and weariness rather than deal with a problem I had in submitting to God. It's real. It opens up the doors for sicknesses to come. Sleep problems, sleeping disorders. Okay? Like Job hiding. Creating a hiding place again. Just some of the signs. As the Holy Spirit ministers individually, the other signs come out. Turn with me to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. In verse 28, and he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Genesis 32. And I just took two verses. I'm not taking these out of context. I just want to draw on the spirit of fear. Okay, Jacob came to a place in his walk where he was willing to say, God, let you and me deal with it. Let you and I deal with it. Now, there's theological debates on whether that man was God or whether it was his flesh and so on, but I don't care. There was a wrestling match. Okay, I know what I believe, but that doesn't matter. There was a wrestling match. And Jacob had to realize, oh, hear this, this is a choice, that God saw him as Israel, as a prince. Hallelujah. And his mission as exposing deceit was given to him by God as man in the flesh under the name of Jacob. But his spiritual ministry, his spiritual warfare ministry, was to be a powerful soldier of God, a prince. A leader in war. Hallelujah. To expose the king of deceivers. Satan. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You and I have that privilege of being set free. Now, let's quickly run down some scriptures. The enemy scatters. Everything that I share with you has to be found in scripture. Otherwise, throw it away. Amen? Okay. I might add for those of you in ministering deliverance, when something happens and I don't understand it and it works, I run through the Word right away and search, because Satan oftentimes will deceive you into thinking the person has been set free by giving you what you think is revelation knowledge, and it really isn't. It's just him copying the Word. You follow me? I want to remind you also, remember that Satan can never do anything of his own. He has no creative ability. Hallelujah. Remember that. Satan has not been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives us creative ability. Hallelujah. Satan is a deceiver and a copier, a false light. So he sees what the Holy Spirit does. He can never do the work of the Holy Spirit because he has not been created by God with that much authority. Come on, let that stir within you. Greater is he that's in you. Oh, that's a powerful scripture that's abused. People say it just to say it. Okay? But he does have ability. And he has to look at what God does and then say, wonder if I can do that. And he makes us believe that it's God. And it isn't. Talk to the magicians back in Exodus. They'll tell you all about it. Isn't that right? Aaron could tell us a good story. I wonder if we'll be able to hear that from him someday. I hope so. Okay, let's go on. Let's say it. I am a prince with the power of God. I have the power of God. Now, I might add, what's our purpose in saying this? It is to build our faith, because the Word of God says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And that word is not written. That word is rhema, filled with life. So I quote, the written word, until, and this is not mind control or anything that Satan has duplicated, until the time comes when the Holy Spirit ignites it and it becomes life. And that's called the anointing. Hallelujah. And what does the anointing do? Break the yoke of bondage. Glory. Hallelujah. It's when the life of Jesus becomes the life of Christ in me. Hallelujah. Jesus walked it out in the flesh that I might walk it out in the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise. It's good. Turn with me to Psalm 7. Are we all still on the same track? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to interrupt for a minute, sir. The word of the Lord is, your days are not coming nigh to an end. Your time of the fulfillment of your days is at hand. For the Lord has set several years ahead of you. The enemy could not feel them. Thou hast looked unto me and hast said unto me, what is my purpose? God, what is going on in my life? And the Lord says, I am bringing it about. I am establishing it. I am releasing you from the word spoken over you as a two-year-old. As a two-year-old, when you threw a stone and broke. It's not a piece of a window, but it's a window, but it's cellophane or something. And a stone went through it. And a curse was put on you at that time. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I ask you to release this brother from the words of that curse now.
Amen.
And I ask that you would send it back to where it came from and that you would draw him now into that place of freedom. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Can we please just praise him for a minute and exalt him? How great he is. How great you are, O Lord. How great you are. We exalt thee. Without you, Lord, we can do no thing. Heavenly Father, we are submitted to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. Lord, we are nothing and you are all. Pray in the Spirit with me. We do not fear man. We fear you, God. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, the glory. The glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you. Praise you, Lord. I hate pride. Oh, how I hate it. Psalms chapter 7. We'll start in verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. This is a deliverance prayer, really. All right. But what the psalmist is saying is, God, I am surrounded by an enemy. And this enemy wants me to trust him, that he is greater in power and authority than you are. So I openly renounce that and I say, God, no, I'm going to trust in you. All right, so let's say, God, I trust in you. I don't trust in the liar. I don't trust in the deceiver. I respect him. But he's your business. I just trust in you. You just whacked that guy really good. Okay. By the way, when we clap our hands, it's the clap. I love to do this with the little kids. It causes a ringing in the demonic ears, and it causes a spirit of confusion. And do you know what they do? Then you shout. And when you shout, it causes them to turn around and run away. Hallelujah. Do you realize that the Satan has no defense mechanism? He has nothing to defend himself with except lies. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? When you shout the name of Jesus, these demons, depending upon your place in God for a spiritual authority, but these demons that are lower than the place that you're at in God, they will flee. Hallelujah. And every time you say the name of Jesus, you send a dart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get out of here. It's an arrow, actually. The Lord says you're birthing an arrow, and it's going forth. Hallelujah. So it's great to get Pentecostal and clap and shout, isn't it? Especially in deliverance. Amen. Now, that thing I'm sharing with you, I found out in the Word, and I put it to the test, not out of testing God, but you should see those guys freak out and take off. It's fun. It really is. And I'm not mocking them, because they're powerful. I've had them pick me up and throw me 10 feet away. One time, my wife and I were in disagreement on a method while we were in deliverance, and the demons laughed. And says, you two better straighten it out. You can't do anything with me. We shut down the session, and Mom and I got together, and we're in unity. and then dealt with the demons. I mean, these guys are, they're something, you know? Okay, let's go on. Psalm 7. Now, here's what happened. The psalmist is saying, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Okay? So we see that if we don't put our trust in God in all issues, the enemy has perfect license, and he's legal, totally legal, to tear my soul apart. That's where we find out when Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. See, Peter had a weakness. Probably it was pride, but it had its roots in something else, I'm sure. Doesn't say it in the Word. Or if it does, I haven't found it. But Satan hit the weakness because Peter boasted, I'll never deny you. Jesus looked at him and says, Peter, I know you better than that. You've got weaknesses, and you're not willing to trust me. You're trying to tell me that you're all right. Don't ever believe the lie that you're all right. Come on. Every time you do, Satan is saying, aha, another doorway to open. What you say is, I am the wisdom and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a king and a priest, and I'm covered by the blood. Hallelujah. He is my righteousness. Ah, glory. Oh, okay. Now, all right, I will. One of the reasons you need to say that, when you're ministering deliverance to another or yourself in the battle in your mind, the demons will accuse you of your weaknesses. And do they know them? Oh, my goodness, do they know them. Okay. Let me share. This is kind of sharing time this morning, but it's learning experiences. Let me share something that happened just this summer. Mom and I hide on the Wisconsin River on Mondays. Usually we go out in our boat. And we have a little room that we sleep in up there. It's kind of like a prophet's quarters. It's quite a story in itself, but anyhow. While I was on the river, a large vulture came to the front window of the room and stared in at my wife. And just kept staring with bloodshot eyes. She began to come under the authority of some demons from a person whom we had ministered deliverance to that week. We thought we had destroyed them all, but there were some that were left. I shouldn't say we destroyed God. All right? And she rebuked it after she went through the trials of learning to recognize it and sent it away. I was coming in. It was time to pick her up to go fishing with me. It was about 10 in the morning. She likes to sleep out. And she'll scold me for saying that. at any rate, all of a sudden, this huge vulture was above me. And it followed me wherever I'd go. I did whirligigs and twirls and with the boat, and I did everything I could. And this bird just kept following me all over. All right? And I pulled up to the boat dock, and it landed there. And I was hit with all kinds of not nice things. And I recognized it then, and I rebuked it and asked God to destroy the demon that was influencing that bird. And the bird just flew away. Okay? Why am I sharing that? The enemy has many tactics to cause us to come back into a place of fear. He will use what he can to keep us from trusting in God. All right? Again, storytelling. Let's go on. Lord, help me. Turn with me to... thank you. I didn't write it down. Chapter 19. Psalms. I'm sorry. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, here again is a prayer from the psalmist. And he says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Faults shouldn't be in there. All right? Cleanse me from my secrets. Okay? Lord, I have pride. And that's what this is talking about. And I don't want, I am much like Adam, I don't want these things exposed. I am ashamed. Hear that word ashamed? Another spirit comes in. I am ashamed to let anybody know that I'm... You know? Little grandson, bless his heart, he was afraid of the dark. But he didn't want Grandpa to know that. So when I said to him, go downstairs for me, please, and do this, he made up a lot of excuses. All right? He was ashamed to tell me. He opened up the door for spirits of shame. In addition to that, he reinforced a spirit of lying that he had. All right? You see how these things work? Boy, they're foxy little buggers. Huh? And so on. And so, perfect love, we have nothing to be afraid of. We wouldn't be hiding and having secret places. But we see that our memories, places of fear, have secret places. Let them not... Oh, in verse 13 he says, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Intentional. Keep me from giving in to them intentionally. All right? It's more than this, but for the sake of this morning. Don't let them have dominion over me. All right? Now you go back to creative law again. God says, we have dominion over everything that has life in it. Isn't that right? Okay, we've fallen from that. And the enemy wants us to believe that he has dominion over us. So let's say it. Enemy?
Enemy.
Spirits of fear?
Spirits of fear.
And any spirits under your authority?
Any spirits under your authority.
I tell you that because of the name of Jesus, because I am a priest, because I am a king, and because I have been gifted with the authority of perfect creation, I stand in authority over you. I have dominion over you. Not by my works, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority of the Holy Spirit in action. Hallelujah! Now, if you would choose to see in the spirit world, they're quivering right now. Because what you have done is you've taken away their covering. Satan was defeated by Jesus. So he sends his demonic authorities to carry out a job that he can't do. His power has been taken away from him. This is a highly touchy issue until I finish it. Hear me. He has an assignment on this earth to protect it and cover it. Jesus took the protection and the covering away when he rose from the dead. And he established the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And since that day, Satan has no legal right to touch you and I. The only way he can touch you and I is by you and I giving him spoken thought or written approval, or by action of sin. And he cannot come to us. He then must say to his demons, I give you authority to go to them. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a mighty position the kingdom of God is. I live in the kingdom of God. I live in the spirit of life. Okay. I pray I didn't cause any confusion with that statement. It's a subject that I probably should teach in depth sometime, but he is powerless. Remember I shared one time recently, last couple of days, his tombstone. It says, I lost. Amen. Okay. Now, his assignment to cover isn't done. The Father has chosen that day, but he has lost his power. Hallelujah. Okay. In verse 9, he goes on and he says, no, he doesn't. I didn't go there. Thank you. Turn with me to chapter 32. Psalms again. I'm just staying in Psalms, guys. Thank you. And I want us to see the principle of covering. Now, I'm going to teach it again. Remember, Satan copies. So Satan has false coverings, false hiding places. God has a true hiding place. Let's see that here, and then we'll get into the real deliverance. Okay, in verse 1, he says in 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You might put in parentheses, concealed. His sin is covered or concealed. Okay. My past is totally concealed from the presence of my Heavenly Father and Satan. Hallelujah. Say it. My past is concealed by my Heavenly Father and from Satan. Satan cannot see my past. If he could see my past, it would do away with the power of the blood and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, so have I forgiven you. In other words, it's erased. It's into eternity. I don't understand eternity. But it's gone. It can't be. It can't be. It can't be. But I've got a memory bank. Events cause my memory bank to kick into action. And if it's sinful actions that my memory bank recalls, guess who looks at them, first of all? And he looks at me and he says, aha, remember when you did that? And you begin to meditate on it. And pretty soon you're trying to bring back the covering of the old fear. You need to rebuke that enemy right away. The moment you have that thought, that's the gray area, the gray memory again. You rebuke that thing. I've been set free from it. And Satan, I block your ears with the blood of Jesus. You can't see me. Hallelujah. That's when you need to call on angels and ask the Father, send angels that are greater in strength than the accusing forces of these demons to fight them away. I refuse to acknowledge their presence. I need your help. And God sends angels and surrounds you. They encamp around about you. Hallelujah. All right. Now, God is so good. I don't say that flippantly. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Oh, my goodness. New Testament time. How is this going to work? First of all, you are my hiding place. I have to learn to submit to being in your presence. Now, one of the ways I come into your presence is worship and praise. Unfortunately, I don't feel like singing a lot of times. And you can quote sacrifice of praise to me all you want. I'm not there. Anybody relate to that? Isn't that right? I mean, it sounds holy to say, well, I'll just sing a sacrifice of praise. But on the inside, I'm saying, yeah, buddy. You know. Yeah, you gotta wanna. All right. So what you do is you knock the devil right square in the face. You say, Lord, send a choir of angels to minister to me. I need help. Hallelujah. And when he does that, the spirit of prophecy falls on you. See, oh, I got a picture. It's beautiful. The spirit of prophecy falls on you. In the gifts of the Spirit, the Word says, above all of the gifts other than love, desire, seek after, search for prophecy. God uses prophecy, which is the spoken word before it happens, to create the happening. Isn't that right? It's calling things that are impossible as though they are. All right. And so, as these spirits minister to you, the angels choir ministers to you, the Holy Spirit begins to convict you of coming into the presence of God, and you then begin to praise prophecy. I am free. Doesn't have to be a thus saith the Lord type thing, but it is. I am free. I am free. You're creating spiritual force, and it is destroying the enemy. They're becoming scattered in your midst. Hallelujah. So you prophesy to the enemy. You are defeated. I serve the Lord my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I apologize for a burst like that, but I just began to get a picture of some of those guys running, and it was funny. Okay. 33:12. Glenn, I've prayed for another 10-second miracle. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I want to stop here for just a moment, get off from this subject, and I want to go to the current war. I had a most unusual experience with God recently. And I began in a rather not healthy way, and I said, God, you know, I'm just like a piece of sand in the sea, but you've got this, put this burden on me to do spiritual warfare for this war. And of course, I'm getting all these emails from all of the great men of God in their words of the Lord and so on. And I'm thinking, you know, God, I need to hear some from you, too, once in a while. Again, you know, you kind of feel that way, but it brings you into a place of humility, and that's what it's intended to do. Okay? And suddenly, I say suddenly, it was in the middle of the night, I was awakened to a vision. Now, I don't receive a lot of visions. And I saw an army of soldiers in the spirit realm from the north country. They were dressed in warm winter clothing. They were demons. And I saw an army of God's angels representing His chosen people. And President Bush was placed in authority by God to open the door for the angels to come and drive away the spirits from the north. Hallelujah. And yes. And I just want you to know that ask God to give you a burden for spirit warfare. Spirit warfare. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. There's a mighty war going on in the spirit. And you and I have been given the authority to pray that the spirits are going to be defeated. Amen. We will lose a few battles. We have to come in total submission to that system. But we don't have to obey that system. We'll be as Daniel and never mind. Anyhow, let's go on. Getting back to the spirit of fear. 33:12-22. The Lord looks down from heaven. He beholds all the son of men. From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, I've got to stop with this, but a principle. This thing of hiding places and multiple personalities. Here's what I found. All of us, or most of us, have a scattered soul. That doesn't mean you have a multiple personality disorder. The way you tell the difference is if you have a multiple personality disorder, that personality takes over, and when you come back to yourself, you can't remember what went on. But if you have a scattered soul, it is when events happen in your life and all of a sudden you are filled with an emotional reaction that is not healthy. Christ-like. And almost always it has its root in fear. Okay? And that peace of your soul needs to be restored to your healthy soul. Now, it's saved, but it's not walking, that peace is not walking in the knowledge of that salvation. It's submitting to fear. All right. We have a promise. The Lord will deliver me. The Lord will deliver me. The Lord will deliver me. I feel to stop here. This is a subject of vast. It's a 2-day seminar.
What it is.
It says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about me in 34:7. Encamp means tabernacles. What is the tabernacle? It is a place with a roof on it. It's not the outer court. It's in the presence of the Holy Spirit in the holy place. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord is there. In the tabernacles, the Holy of Holies. The deliverance comes when we come into the Holy of Holies. You got the picture? I'm covered. The angel is camped here. I am in His protection. Much like going back to the womb of yesterday. And I'm coming into His presence of complete deliverance. Hallelujah. Let's minister for a moment. Oh Lord. Lord, open the doors. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would open the doors that no man can open
and keep the doors closed that no man should open. Lord, in my natural, there's great danger in this, and I don't want to do it, Lord, and cause anybody any problems. But yet you've asked me, guided me carefully to speak on this subject, and I want to bring help. It's useless, God, if this was just a Bible study. The fruit of the Bible study is where it's at. So, Lord, for those that are ready, I'm asking that you would begin to minister to them now. Pray with me, please. Lord, is there something in my memory that needs to be cleansed today? Is there a piece of my soul that is hiding in a quiet covering place? I want it to be exposed. And I want that little piece of my soul to be restored into the knowledge of fullness of salvation. It does not believe that it can trust you. It's trusting a fearful event. All right, we'll go down as the Holy Spirit reveals. Words spoken against you that cause you to believe a lie that you are inferior and that you should fear man. Virtually every woman has this. All right. And men with personalities that are soft and tender like David almost always have fear. And men have fear also. Do you have a spirit of fear? If so, be prepared to renounce it. You can tell. Okay. Confess it again. Lord, my thoughts are your thoughts. I surrender them to you. Only let my thoughts be ministered to by you. And if other thoughts come, by faith, I believe you allowed them to come that I might get set free. Now, that's a prayer of faith. It is. It is. If you trust in God, it happens. Okay, spirit of fear. Fear of fathers. Someone here, more than one, has a picture in your mind of a father that's cruel, that has an authority that says submit, but doesn't understand what true submission is. And as I think of submission, I believe I'm led to tell you, those of you that have been under and beaten by men of God that want you to believe the lie that they're superior to you. There is no leader of God that is superior to you. Every leader of God that is pure and true is a servant to you. Hallelujah. Spirits of religion that tell you that you aren't good enough and that you have to be this way and that way. There's someone here who is hiding because of incest and rape. There's a man here who has been molested. There's more than one lady here. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. As a result, fear of marriage, divorce, unable to commit, has become a big role in your life. Fear of the word submission. In Jesus' name, would you minister to that one? For some reason, loss of memory is coming up. I don't know why. Oh, fear. Thank you, Lord. I have that. Heavenly Father, I renounce that. Fear of Alzheimer's. Fear of dementia. Oh, yes. Time doesn't allow us to go further, but I want you to stand with me, please, and we'll pray.
Now, with the fire of your Holy Spirit, and I ask you to go to their backup, and that you would send your fire of the Holy Spirit to destroy every backup. I ask that you go to the spirit of fear itself and you bind it with your authority and power. And I loose it unto you for you to deal with as you see fit. I ask you to surround me now with angels that are greater in strength than the demons that would like to bring back that which I have been set free from. I am free, and I will dine with you in the presence of mine enemy, for I know that your rod and your staff.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.